I love being home. If you guys don't know me, if you don't recognize me, my name's Luke Edlund. I grew up at this church. I grew up coming to Resurrection as a kid and being poured into by the people here at Resurrection and being equipped and empowered to lead and to do ministry. And for a time, we were attempting to start a church out in Buffalo, Minnesota. But you guys, like we know from recent decisions, we've decided to take the pressure off of our small group. And you know, if something happens there, awesome. But if not, you know, we're okay with that. Meaning that we're putting the church plant, as it were, on pause. But as many of you guys know, Katie, my wife, and I, and my son, we're going through kind of a molding process right now. We're figuring out exactly where we're going to fit in God's kingdom and what our roles are. God's taken us in a few different directions in the past few years, all in Buffalo, Minnesota, and with our ministry out there. But we really want to thank you guys for your prayers and your support throughout the entire process of us kind of figuring things out. In Buffalo, you guys were unwavering. You were there. You're always present for us, and specifically that church planning committee here. I want to thank you guys. You spoke a lot of truth, and you know, helped me figure out and process a lot of these things. So I really want to thank you guys on so many levels. We're so thankful for the grace. That Resurrection's had in something that's it's hard to see as anything but a failure. But we see, and we'll see in the text that we're reading today, that it's not that. You know, it wasn't wasted time, it wasn't wasted energy. As difficult as it is to see past what didn't happen and grieving lost dreams, there's positive formation in the midst of it. God's using it to form and to mold us into who he desires us to be. So this morning, before we get into the text, I'm just going to open with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for the time that we get to spend in your word this morning, the time that we get to spend in Christian fellowship with one another. I pray that you would just give us a heart for one another, Lord, that we would show the world who we are by our love for one another and for you. God, I pray that it would be so evident that our love for each other and for the world is not of our own nature or our own ability, but Lord, that it would come from you. Lord, I pray that you would just give us your eyes this morning to see what you have for us. I pray that you'd speak through me in spite of me. We love you and praise you in your name. Amen. So the text this morning we're going to go through is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. If you have your Bibles or your phones, we're going to go through that together. Starting in verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is one of Paul's most vulnerable moments. So he's got a couple of these moments in Scripture where he kind of opens up and he reveals some weakness or some pain or some struggle. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I just want to ask this question, when we encounter pain and suffering in our own lives, and our first reaction is to look up and ask God, why? I just want us to remember these three things from this passage. And I don't know if I'll make the full 2 hours and 45 minutes, but more maybe like, you know, 24 minutes and in 24.5 minutes. So the first of these things that we should remember when we're experiencing pain and suffering or trials in our own lives, the first of these is that God disciplines his children. In verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So previous in this passage, if you look back, the first portion of this chapter, Paul is talking about the great revelations that he had been given. He'd been opened up to see the third heaven, and he had been able to see things that he couldn't even say, right? And so he had these awesome revelations and these awesome moments with God. And to keep him from becoming conceited, to take away any pride that he would have in the moment, he was given a thorn in his flesh. So what is this thorn? There's kind of a lot of back and forth. Is it a physical ailment? Is it an addiction? Is it a mental health struggle? Is it a literal thorn? We don't really know. And that's okay, because it allows us to carefully kind of put ourselves in Paul's shoes. Now, we're not doing eisegesis or, you know, what some people call narcissism, and when we put ourselves as the main character in the story of the Bible. But sometimes it's helpful for us to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of Paul to be able to understand what he's going through here. So we don't know exactly what this physical ailment is, or if it's an addiction or a mental health struggle, whatever this thorn in his flesh is. But we're going to carefully put ourselves in Paul's shoes. Do you have a thorn in your flesh? Do you have a struggle that you keep struggling with, or do you have a physical thorn in your flesh, something that makes it difficult to see past your own struggle? Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." But God wouldn't send bad things to good people, right? But have you read the book of Job? Where God looked at this man who is righteous, who is doing things well. And Satan challenged him. He's, you know, talking back and forth of, he's just doing these things because he has everything good in life. And God allows him ultimately to take everything that he had except for his life. And in the midst of that, even with people telling him to just curse God and be done with it, Job says, from my mother's womb, I came with nothing, and with nothing I will return. So we know that God will allow these things to happen, right? In the name of discipline, in the name of sanctification, of making us more and more like him. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God's discipline of us, it's not pointless or void. He does not waste your suffering. There are times where God is directly sending discipline towards your way for your sanctification. He's sending things your way, different life situations your way for sanctification. And then there's times where he's allowing things to happen. And there are times that we're just dealing with consequences of our own actions. And in both of these times, God uses our pain, he uses our suffering, he uses our discomfort to make us more and more like him, to move you closer to him. So as you encounter pain, as you encounter suffering, as you encounter difficulty in life, the first thing we remember is that God disciplines his children. Secondly, God's grace is sufficient. In verse 8, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" When Paul says he pled with the Lord three times, it kind of feels like, oh, you prayed three times? really? That's it? I feel like I've prayed three times this morning that God would wake me up a little bit more. You know, I feel like there's things I've prayed, you know, thousands of times for. But when he says he pled three times, he begged three times, this was more than just a flippant prayer like, oh God, please take that away. It was something that he would literally be on his knees begging God, God, please take this from me. I think of Christ in the garden when he's asking God, you know, Lord, would you take this cup from me? And he's sweating blood. That's the kind of pleading that I think Paul was making at this point. So our sufficiency, it's not in our own toughness. It's not in our own ability to grit down and to bear things, to repress and to shove things down so that we don't show emotion or we don't show how much it's affecting us. But our sufficiency is in God's grace alone. Only through his grace can we withstand any kind of correction or discipline or trial or tribulation. Philippians 4:13 is a verse that's kind of hijacked by, I remember in when I was in high school, this was like the high school athlete's verse, right? I can do all things who strengthens me. I can go out and I can win that game through Jesus who strengthens me. I can go out and I can win the championship through Jesus who strengthens me. And that's not exactly what Paul's saying when he's talking about this. He's talking about the great struggles and the great trials and tribulations that he went through. And he said, because of God, I can do all of these things. I can go through all these incredibly difficult things in life. He's not saying that I can go out and win the Super Bowl because of Jesus, because what if the other guy on the team opposing me also has Jesus? Who wins then? But I can do all things who strengthens me. I can have the greatest highs in life and the lowest lows in life because of him who strengthens me. It's not talking about the things I can therefore go out and win the game, the championship. No, he's saying because of God, I always win. He's not saying because of God I win at everything, but because of God in the greatest victory and the lowest humiliating defeat, I can make it through because God is using those moments to form me like a potter molds and forms a ceramic creation. So the first, that God disciplines his children. When we're experiencing pain, when we're experiencing suffering, remember that God disciplines his children. Remember that God is using that pain, he's using that suffering to bring you closer to him, to form you, to mold you, to sanctify you. Remember that God's grace is sufficient. It's not about how tough we are to get through these things. It's not about how much toughness or how much mental toughness we have to get through these difficult things in life, but it's all about God's grace in our life. And then thirdly, as we experience difficult times in our life, remember that our weaknesses show God's work through us. Verse 9 also says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Think of stories in the Bible like Gideon, when God was intentionally making Gideon's army smaller and smaller and smaller. He started with so many men, and he, you know, would give them different trials and tests to whittle down his army, so that God was the only possible explanation for victory. Think of David when he was going against Goliath, and he went into Saul's tent, and Saul tried to put on this really expensive, really nice armor to give him some more protection, give him the best weapons possible. And instead, David shakes off the armor, and he goes and grabs stones and a sling. The only explanation for David's victory is the power of God, right? It's not a very attractive message from the outside. Our natural state is to desire for that weakness to be thrown out and be replaced with strength in ourselves. But God is most glorified when you can do nothing but turn to him, and his strength is what completes the task. when our weakness makes it so evident that it is God who is doing the work. So what are weaknesses in your life that God is using right now? What are areas that you don't feel confident in, that you don't feel like you're good at or talented in, but God wants to use? I would say that being up here right now, I don't feel like I'm an amazing communicator by any means. But God has used me in the past 3 years here to communicate the gospel. And I'm just blown away by that every time. You know, and every time someone tells me that they were impacted by my message, I know 100% that it is by 0% of my ability, because my ability is not very good. But, and so when I know that there's an impact there, I know that it's God working through me, or that's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. That in the midst of these jumble words and sentences and ideas that aren't connecting quite well enough, that God would still use that to connect with someone, to point them to Jesus. And I know that's the Holy Spirit working through my words. Not because I'm so great or because my words are so great, but because God is working through my weakness. I don't believe that God would have us sit comfortably in our areas of gifting or talent without continually leaning into Him for experiences in areas that we are weak in, so that He can shine through. If you do it enough, you start to find that in these areas, it's so rewarding to minister in, because it's so utterly clear that God is moving through you and using you versus you relying on your own talents and abilities and skills. So what weaknesses are you too afraid to give to God right now? Because you're just a little bit too weak in that area for Him to use you. You just feel like, well, you know, I am just, you know, I am not the speaker, or I am not the evangelist. And so I don't think God could really use me in that area. I think I'm a little bit too far gone. And maybe that's the exact area that God is saying, I want to use you in that area. So it's even more clear that it's me doing the work. So as we encounter difficult times in life, we remember those three things: that God disciplines His children, that He's using that pain, He's using that suffering to bring you closer to Him, to point you towards Him, and to sanctify you. We remember that God's grace is sufficient, that it's not about my own toughness to get through this, it's not about my own skills, my own ability to get through this difficult thing, it's all about God's grace in my life. And we remember that our weaknesses show God's work through us. And so we don't have to be scared to put our weaknesses on display. As Paul says, he boasts in his weaknesses because he knows that God shines through those weaknesses. He knows that God shines through those weak points in our life. So I'll close with this. Pain and suffering not only form and mold you and strengthen you and sanctify you and bring you closer to God, but they also reveal God's goodness and mercy through your weakness. As Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for being strong in the midst of our weakness. God, thank you for giving us the strength that we could never, ever have, and giving us the sufficiency in your grace, God. Thank you so much for the truth of your gospel, your life, your death, your resurrection, and what that means for us. God, I thank you so much. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live out of that truth. Lord, in the difficult times and the hard times in life, I pray that we would live out of the truth that we get to spend eternity in heaven with you. I pray that you would give us a passion and a zeal to bring as many people with us as possible. We love you and we praise you in your name. Amen.